Hoop Heads podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
When he first made the NBA, but then to see him continue to perform, it doesn't surprise me because he's continued to get better in whatever level he's played at. So I don't know. It's I'm so proud of the dude and what he's done, not only on the court but off the court. But to see him perform at that level under those lights in Charlotte, I don't know if I've quit grinning yet.
Tonight we're going to talk to Joe Harris, whose son Joe just won the NBA three-point contest as a member of the Brooklyn Nets.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are pleased to welcome back to the podcast on a very special occasion, Joe Harris, whose son just won the NBA three-point shooting contest. Joe, welcome back.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me back on to talk about whatever, hoop, Joe, the three-point contest, whatever we got going. But just appreciate you, what you guys are doing for the game of basketball.
Yeah, we are very excited to talk to you after your whirlwind trip to Charlotte and getting a chance to watch your son win the three-point contest. So let's start there and talk about what you know in terms of his preparation for the contest. What did he do to kind of get himself ready once he found out he was going to be in?
Well, you know, I don't think he did a whole lot different than what he would normally do. He's pretty driven, gets into the gym on a regular basis, gets his shots up. He did practice off the rack a couple different times, and, you know, you got to get used to taking the ball off the rack instead of off a pass, and had the good fortune of hooking up with his former assistant coach at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte, Ron Sanchez. Those guys dialed him in and got gave him some court time when he got into Charlotte. So he got some practice time there. But, you know, as far as really, really working at it, I mean, he had some practice time, but not a lot off the rack like he would in that arena, definitely.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. He wasn't even originally on in the three-point contest, correct? He was the replacement for Klay Thompson, or am I wrong in saying that?
You know, I don't know if it was Klay who he filled in for, but he was the last person selected for the three-point contest.
That's just divine. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That's really awesome.
It makes for a great backstory, definitely. You know, from a small town, last guy in, first guy out, you know, kind of a deal as the contest goes.
So we predicted who was going to win the three-point contest, and both of us had Joe in the top three, by the way. I just want to point that out there. It wasn't anything to do with you, but we did say in the top three we had him. And one thing that gave him the edge was he was the last guy in, and he had no pressure whatsoever. Yeah. I mean, he had pressure, but, you know, he wasn't like, oh, he's one of the two or three guys that everybody knows in the league. Because I really think, as sad as it is to say that, I don't know that a lot of people that are casual NBA fans know your son. So I don't feel like, you know, he had as much pressure as Steph did and Seth did playing A, in their hometown, and B, just being the Curry brothers. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's the crazy part about the whole All-Star weekend is that it's just such a huge event, and whether you want to say it or not, I really think that the three-point contest is turned into a marquee event because that's where the game has really gone and guys just, you know, taking some deep shots and continually they chart everything, you know, it's off of one bounce or whatever. And so it's, I guess, an opportunity for Joe when he got selected. Maybe he didn't have that pressure, or maybe he wasn't thinking about it and just, you know, business as usual type of a deal.
Did you get a chance to talk to him on the day of kind of what his mindset was heading into it?
Oh, certainly. We were very fortunate that we were staying at the same place that Joe was, and had breakfast, lunch, and dinner with him the whole time we were in Charlotte. So we, you know, he got a feel for how he was feeling, whether he was a little edgy or not, I don't know. But you know, it was really just a business as usual day for him, and rolling into the arena, I could, you know, seen that look on his face so many times when he's competed for us in high school or at the University of Virginia, and now in the NBA, just he had that same look of determination that just go to work.
That's the right way to approach it, right? If you don't approach it as something that's out of the ordinary, you're much more likely to perform at your best, I would say.
Oh, certainly.
So when he gets out and he gets off to a great start, obviously in the first round, and you know, he puts that first round up there, and now you're starting to think, oh boy, he's going to probably make it through to the next round. What's it like for you sitting there watching him as a father, as someone who's obviously had a tremendous amount to do with his development as a young kid? What's going through your mind? Forget about what's going through his mind, but what's going through your head while you're sitting there in the stands?
Well, you know, you're almost helpless because you're just hoping that the shots go down, and that and then when he made that made it into the second round, and I'm sitting next to my wife Alice, and we're thinking, wow, okay, this guy is, he's dreamt about this from the time he was a little guy, and he emulated previous 3-point shooters when he was in elementary and middle school, and talked himself through it. And now he's that guy that hopefully little guys are looking at up to and say that this can be done, that anybody can do it. And you're just going, what? I just could not quit grinning. Like, he made it to the final. And then, you know, you start thinking, okay, he's got a chance because I know what he's going to do. I've seen him do it over and over and over through his career. He just knocks down shots so consistently because he has that laser focus.
When I was watching, and for some reason, as I was watching the final round, and Steph was the last shooter, and I'm watching, and for some reason, I don't know if it was something that was said on the telecast, the announcer, or it was just my own miscounting, but I thought if Steph made the last shot, that would have tied. And then they were going to have to go to, you know, a shoot off. So he got the chance to, you know, avoid that with the great shooting that he was able to produce in that last round. As you're, again, sitting there and you're looking at your son, and, you know, you're thinking back to when he was 8, 10, 12 years old, and now you're watching him compete against, you know, against Steph, arguably the greatest shooter in the history of basketball. Is there any way, I mean, I know you've already said it and I'm sure you'll just say it again, but is there any way to even kind of put that into perspective in terms of sort of your expectation or your thought process as you're watching that?
Wow. I'm, you know, not really, because, you know, you think of Steph being the kind of shooter he is, and that, just that whole field, you think of those guys that are in there, you think the guys that have won this contest before, and then to put Joe in that classification, you're going, okay, everybody that has a chance to dream about something, this is just rubber stamps that idea that, yeah, start dreaming and start believing in those little things that turn eventually into big things, because that's exactly what he did, and he put the time in, and it was just, it was almost surreal to think that he was at that level when he first made the NBA, but then to see him continue to perform, it doesn't surprise me because he's continued to get better in whatever level he's played at. So I don't know. It's I'm so proud of the dude and what he's done, not only on the court but off the court, but to see him perform at that level under those lights in Charlotte, I don't know if I've quit grinning yet from the time I got home.
So let's talk about not just specifically the day. And I know we talked about it a little bit the last time we had you on, but just talk a little bit about his backstory in terms of, you've mentioned it here a little bit, that just his work ethic and what he put into the game to get himself to that position. Because there may be people that are casual NBA fans that, you know, maybe I've seen him play a quarter with the Nets or remember him when he played at Virginia.
But, or known by his current beard.
Fear the beard, I guess.
That's right. You know, but people may not know and understand. And sometimes you just see that, you know, you see this moment and wow, he won the 3-point contest. But it's those behind the scenes work that really makes the difference. Can you talk a little bit about what it's taken for him to get there and then what he continues to do to this day as an NBA player to get himself prepared to play at that level and to be able to have the tremendous accomplishment of winning the 3-point contest?
Oh, definitely. I think your guys are right on that moment in the sun can be so fleeting. And, you know, I think that's what we fight every day with teaching youth to overcome those odds of just that instant gratification. And that's where Joe has just continued throughout his career, just taking on those odds. And And I can say without a doubt that, you know, I've coached hundreds of young people and seen, you know, thousands of guys play. He's the hardest working player I've ever been around. And that's whether he's under the lights or whether he's doing it on his own in the gym by himself. And that resilient attitude to just continue to have great, you know, I think work ethic is a lost word with young people, and they don't value the fact that you can work so hard and then get that. There's a reward with hard work, and that's success. And I think that's something that Joe has just continued to do. He comes home. He loves being home. We're a small community. And that's the greatest part of this story, is that he had a dream as a young kid in a community of, you know, 4,000 people and a school of 300, and to play professionally. And how does that happen? He worked at it, and he worked at it every day, and he sacrificed a ton of stuff, and he still does. I mean, he'll come home in the summer, and instead of just kind of hanging around and doing stuff at the lake and this, it's okay, Pops, let's go to the gym. Can we hop in and get some shots up? I want to get a workout in. I want to go to the weight room, even when he's on vacation here at home. So it's not something that he's just rested on. Okay. And I know he won't do this with his 3-point crown that, okay, that's good enough. I think that raises the bar for him, and that continues to raise the bar, which continues to force him to just push a little harder and try to improve. I told my sixth graders today in class that we were doing a quick little jump rope challenge thing that we have every month. And I said, how many of you have failed at something? And several of them raised their hand. And I said, well, I pointed to, we have a banner in the wall for Joe. And I said, how many times do you think that guy's failed? And they didn't quite get it. I said, you have to fail to succeed. And so I used his backstory about just continuing to work at it and continuing to try to be better. That's part of the process. And that's what he's always done.
So I have a question for you. So you said he wants to raise the bar. Do you think he's going to defend the title next year? Is that something that he will consider, or did he not even, I don't even know if it came up in conversation, but do you think he'll consider it if they offer him the opportunity to defend the title?
Certainly. I think that's the competitive part that the guys playing in at the highest level have, is that whether they show it or not, they're all have that internal motor that just drives them. And, you know, of course I'm not speaking for Joe, but
I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot there. I apologize for that.
No, you're all good, man. His agency is in Chicago next year. The NBA All-Star game, I believe, is in Chicago. So I'm not sure they would let him decline. You know, kind of a deal. Yeah. But we're just hoping that, that he gets another chance to get out there and prove to people. And, you know, if you hear his story about the work ethic that he had both here in Virginia and then what he's done with both Cleveland, playing in Canton for a number of games, and then finding his home in Brooklyn. I mean, it's a remarkable chance for people just to follow and I think grab onto.
I think one of the things that I find to be the most fascinating about your story and his story together is the fact that, you know, if you think about around the country, the number of little kids that start out with this dream of, I'm going to be a basketball player and I want to play professional basketball. And you hear, you know, you hear different stories. There was the famous Steve Alford story when he was born, that they sent out his birth announcements and, you know, he was Mr. Basketball in Indiana for 1985 or whatever it was, you know, when he was first born. And obviously there are some people that dream comes true for, and Joe is obviously one of the ones that got there. And I think that what you just talked about in terms of what it takes to be able to get there, and obviously there's some physical tools that anybody who makes it to that level has, but the guys who get there and the guys who end up having successful careers are the guys who have that drive and that work ethic that, you know, you've talked about with Joe. And I think it's such an interesting story, because again, from a small town like you guys are from, and nobody, I'm sure, ever took it seriously when he said, I'm sure if he told his teacher when he was in fourth grade, hey, I'm going to make it to the NBA someday, they looked at him like he was crazy. Oh, and definitely. just like they look at anybody else, you know, who has that dream and, you know, says they're crazy. And yet for him, you know, it came true. And I think it's a testament to what you just talked about in terms of the time and the effort that he's put in and that he's continuing to put in, because that's what separates the best from everybody else.
Oh, definitely. And I think that's, you know, what a great role model for, you know, kids at any level to find themselves chasing that dream because somebody else has done it before me. And whether it's a dream to be, you know, maybe they don't have to be in the NBA, but maybe, you know, I want to be a programmer, I want to be a coder, I want to, you know, I want to ride horses, whatever it is, there's nothing wrong with dreaming. And I think this is a classic example of that.
So he didn't tell everybody that they were playing for second in the locker room like Larry before the contest, did he?
Well, you know, I don't know, maybe the competitive part in Dad had that, you know, we didn't fly from Washington to Charlotte to
watch a second place finish. Yeah, exactly.
Jokingly, but, you know, just so proud of him and what he's done and, you know, how far he's come in his career. It's just, you know, it gives you goosebumps as a parent to see somebody when they're 5 years old have this goal on their wall in his room to do something, and then to just see them continually check that off and get better at that same thing. And you're just hoping that, you know, there's no blueprint to being a parent. You're just hoping you get it right. And, you know, we're just fortunate that Joey just keeps doing his stuff and just keeps doing it in a great way.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to put it in terms of the fact that the way that he went about it and the way that he was able to, you know, climb that ladder of success was something that it's based on work ethic. It's based on effort. It's based on determination. And those are all skills that, to your point, you know, whether you want to be a basketball player or you want to program computers or you want to, you know, be a musician, whatever it is, if you can base your process off those things that you talked about, you're likely to be successful no matter what it is that you end up doing.
Oh, definitely. And then, you know, I think the thing that probably has his mom and I just feeling the greatest about is when, you know, we'd listen to all kinds of folks talk about his character and how fortunate they are to be around him. And we're thinking the exact opposite about how fortunate we are as a family to have Priority represent Joey and have Joe go to the University of Virginia and what he got there and how fortunate it's been for him to be with the Nets and have Kenny and have the tutelage from Jared and those guys that he's playing with. And then, you know, it's kind of a give and take, but yet it's one of those things where we feel fortunate as a family that Joe has such great character, and everybody seems that they've noticed that.
Yeah, I think it's got to be tremendously gratifying. I can speak as a parent. When my son scores a basket in a seventh grade basketball game, I know how good that makes me feel. And so I can only imagine, you know, while you were sitting there in the stands in Charlotte, how proud you were of him and just how exciting it was for you to see all the things that, as you said, that he sacrificed and that he worked hard to attain to all kind of come to, you know, a moment where he was recognized on, again, one of the biggest stages that the highest level of the game has to offer. And so as a dad, I can only imagine sitting there just what was kind of coursing through your blood there as you were, you know, counting down the last couple shots and watching them go in and then, you know, sweating out the Steph round to see if he was going to, you know, see if he was going to be able to hold the trophy. And then
definitely
just to be able to, you know, just to be able to watch him hold that trophy above his head. And then I'm sure after it was over, go down and put your arm around him and give him a hug and tell him you loved him and what a great job he did. I can't even imagine what that moment was like. Cause like I said, I know the pride that you feel when your kids accomplish anything. And so I can imagine at that highest level, how that had to feel.
Oh, definitely. And as exciting it was to see those, you know, to count those shots down and then to figure out that he won it, I think probably the greatest moment was to walk down the tunnel and have Joe and his sister and his mom and myself, and we're all hugging him and we're telling him how proud, you know, just keeping it in complete perspective about what a great family moment. But at the same time, we're just pinching ourselves like, he really did this. and you just, you know, I was so pleased that my wife Alice and my daughter Jacy got to be there at the same time and to witness that, because those are priceless moments, whether it's, like you said, whether it's hitting that winning shot as a seventh grader and jumping up and down or being on this stage. We've tried to keep it all in perspective, but yet you're just glowing inside about he's the reigning NBA three-point champion. How does that wrap around your head?
Yeah, it has a very good ring to it, I'm sure. So while you're there at All-Star Weekend, did you have an opportunity to talk with any of the other parents of players? Did you get a chance to have any conversations or talk to anybody that were the parent of any players or relatives of players?
You know, you'd see a lot of folks in passing and just wave to them. And there was security is real tight. And it was where we were at was hotel downtown, but there was, you know, people everywhere. And like I said, early on, we had a opportunity to get with Ron Sanchez from UNC Charlotte. And I guess right before we were leaving, we had coffee with him and his family again. And then we got a chance to talk to Clay's dad and mom and stuff. And that was very interesting because, you know, Clay's a Washington State guy. And Joe was recruited by Tony, who coached Clay. And so we have this common bond. And then really the conversation just talked about our kids and about how proud we are of all of them. And not so much about the hoopla of the All-Star weekend and All-Star game and the three-point contest and the dunk contest, but more about just family and the connections we had with Tony Bennett and Ron and the guys from University of Washington who then went to Virginia. So a little bit, you know, not much. We tried to stay out of the fray of things. And like I said, we spent a lot of time with Joe, breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, and just enjoyed ourselves immensely.
Yeah, what I love about that is I think, you know, if people who are out there listening, and we all have, if you're the parent of a basketball player or, you know, a kid that plays sports or does anything, you sit down and you have these conversations with other parents about, hey, how's your kid doing? And, you know, this and that, and, you know, and here you are sitting talking with other parents of guys who are NBA, you know, NBA all-stars. You know, it's kind of an amazing, it's gotta be, again, it's hard to kind of wrap your head around that as someone who's not in that world. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around the fact that, you know, you're just sitting down and say, yeah, like Clay's having a really good year. He's shooting the ball. You know, he's shooting the ball really well. He's, you know, he's really enjoying himself. And, you know, it's just an interesting conversation, I'm sure, to be had.
Oh, definitely. And Michael Thompson and I were talking about, we were laughing about Pullman and how obscure of a place Pullman is for, you know, players to go to. And then I was laughing about how Lake Chelan is even smaller than Pullman. And, you know, then Joey ended up in Virginia being coached by Tony, who coached his son in Pullman. And so the conversation really didn't, you know, like I said, it was just, you know, how, you know, talking
two
more
dads,
about
two dads,
dads. Yeah, two dads in right. The lobby of a hotel chatting it up.
Yeah, that's really, again, it's hard for people, I think, to wrap their head around the fact that you're just sitting down and talking about your kids, and yet your kids are people that everybody, you know, around the country who are basketball fans know who they are. And so that makes it kind of doubly, you know, doubly interesting. And from that standpoint,
registration is now open at www.headstartbasketball.com for this summer's Head Start Basketball Camps. We'll be hosting camps this summer in Strongsville, Westlake, Avon Lake, Oberlin, Brunswick, Highland Heights, Mentor, and Hudson. At Head Start Basketball, we care deeply about making a positive impact on the lives of young basketball players, both on and off the court. It's through building strong relationships with our players, parents, and coaching staff that we are able to use the game of basketball to enrich the lives of those we interact with, both inside and outside of our organization. We believe that our attention to detail, our growth mindset, and our commitment to lifelong learning allows us to help our players achieve their fullest potential. We are passionately committed to providing players, parents, and coaches with everything they need to reach their goals. These core values run through everything we do. Check out our website, www.headstartbasketball.com, and discover why you should attend a Head Start Basketball Camp this summer. Hope to see you there.
What, obviously, besides the highlight of Joe winning the three-point contest, what were some other things that stood out for you about the weekend?
Oh, man. I don't, you know, to offhand, I'm not sure if there's one thing that just grabbed myself, obviously there, it just the enormity of the event. Everywhere you went, there was stuff in Charlotte that referenced the All-Star Game. A couple of their folks at the arena were talking about that this is their Super Bowl, but it's much more than that because it stretched out over, there's competitions over a couple of days, not just that one day. And I think just the fact that you're at this event and it's, you know, you're walking into the arena, whether it's to watch the Rising Stars or watch the All-Star, the three-point contest, the All-Star game, here are the guys, just like we've spoke to, here are the guys that you watch every day on the television, and you don't really, until you're right there, you don't really realize how big a people they are. And you pass them in the hotel, they're rather large bodies going everywhere. And I think the thing that struck me the most is just how professional everybody was and how accommodating everybody was from not only Charlotte, but also from the NBA. Every time that we needed something, it was like, yeah, go right ahead. Here we go. Can we do this for you? Can we help you out? And I don't think we get that when you're watching it on TV, that, you know, the people working for the NBA, the people that are working for individual organizations, they're just humans too, and they're just doing their job. You know, you run into security and it's like, okay, can I help you with that? You know, I've got a bag or something. No, I'm all right. I'm good to go. Okay, we just want to make sure you have a great time. And you're thinking, okay, I'm at the NBA All-Star Contest and they're wanting to make sure that I, you know, they're not hassling you. They're not giving you a bad time about anything. They're there to make you. And at the same time, there's so many people and everybody is treating everybody the same way. I think that's the thing that I noticed, that it was just such a friendly atmosphere.
That always strikes me whenever I go to an NBA game and I look around the arena, and I always tend to notice just all the ancillary jobs that are associated with NBA basketball, whether it's, again, like you mentioned, security and stat crew and announcers and ushers and just all the different people that have a stake in, you know, the profession. And so often we see it on TV and we think of the players, and rightfully so, but there's all these other positions, whether it's within the league office, whether it's within, you know, each individual team's front office, and people that are ticket sales or people that work in the arena. And just there's this whole industry around that sometimes when you're just watching a game on TV that you don't always take into account. And I think that's what you were seeing when you were there in Charlotte.
Oh, definitely. And I think that's the crazy part, is whether it's, you know, whether you're at a high school game, a college game, you know, you're there, parents of those players are there to watch too. And I'm sure all the family and friends that are there of any of the All-Stars are there to watch. And it's just on a completely different level. I mean, there's a lot of things to see, a lot of things to take your eye off it. But really, when it gets down to it, it's, you know, the people at the arena are there to help you out. And we had a great time. We had a great experience with it. And even though it was, you know, it's overwhelming to think we're coming from a small community, we roll into Charlotte and then we're at the at those events and we're watching our own kid play in those things. And it's, you know, quite honestly, I don't have anything negative at all to say about the whole weekend. It was such a great time, whether Joe won or not. I mean, we were completely taken care of by both the NBA and Joe's agency.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear. You mentioned that you got a chance to watch the Rising Stars game. So going into that game, was there somebody that you wanted to see in person? And then after you watched the game, did any of the players in that game leave you with an impression of like, wow, this guy was better, different, something than what you thought?
Well, you know, I think we started off just going to it and, couple of Joe's teammates on the Nets were playing at Jarrett and Rhodey, and you know, just getting a chance to watch them play and having met them and done see that Joe's done some stuff with them off the court as well with the Nets organization. But you know, as a fan of basketball, just rolling into that facility and watching that night was a treat. And you know, I just kind of took it all in. I don't think I looked for anything. And, you know, not that anybody, I mean, every time you turn around, there was a fantastic play, whether it was a alley-oop off the bounce or somebody hitting a deep three, or, you know, not a lot of defense playing. So if you're a purist for the purist for the game.
Yeah. You may not, if you wanted to see some defense, it's not your weekend.
No, not at all. Which is okay, because, you know, it's a little more of an entertaining factor than it typically is. And, you know, guys are there having a great time. And I like the fact that, you know, USA versus the world team, it kind of gives guys maybe that have played against each other in both of those arenas a chance to become teammates. You know, a lot of those younger guys off the USA team probably played against each other, maybe collegiately or on, you know, in the NBA, obviously, but also maybe on their AAU or elite teams. And now all of a sudden they're playing for Team USA versus guys that have done the same thing in Europe or wherever they've played.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that by changing that format and going away from the East-West, both for the Rising Stars game and I think for the All-Star game, it definitely worked last year for the main All-Star game. It wasn't quite as successful this year. It didn't seem like they played quite as hard defensively as they did maybe last year. Last year I thought was the best All-Star game in the last probably 6 or 7 years, and then this one wasn't quite as contested. But I just think it's a great weekend for everybody to be able to showcase, you know, what's going on in the NBA and to see the young guys getting a chance to play in the Rising Stars game. And then, you know, you have the All-Star Saturday night and all those events. And obviously for you, that was the highlight. And then you get to the main game and get a chance to see the best in the world go up and down the floor against each other. You know, it was a lot of fun. And then it sets up an interesting end to the season. So looking forward to the remainder of the season for Joe and the Nets. Did you talk to them a little about what's their hope for what they can accomplish here over the last quarter of the season?
Well, you know, I mean, I think definitely they're looking for the playoffs. They know they got a tough road ahead of them. They got a pretty brutal schedule coming up, but they feel like, you know, all these other teams have made some changes and picked up some guys, and you know, really with getting Karras back and Spencer back, it's almost like they've just picked up their own free agents. And so I'm hoping that'll help them, that they'll, you know, they'll be able to play a ton of guys and just keep the mojo going that they had before the break, you know, come back with a little bit of a you know, fresher legs and that type of stuff as they start to make the push. We're headed back to Brooklyn next week, and then I'll be headed my spring break in April, headed back over there and to Brooklyn, catch 3 games, and then hopefully some playoff.
Yeah, hopefully you'll be back for the playoffs. I read something or heard something about. Go ahead.
No, I was good. I think we're thinking the same thing. Someone wrote on your they advertised the Lake Chelan basketball camp this in May, or Joe was going to come talk. And someone wrote on the Instagram page, are they going to be in the playoffs?
You know, that's a chance that we're taking. Actually, it's a coaching clinic that I've been running for close to 20 years, and we've had some great speakers from around the Pacific Northwest at it. And Joe spoke at it last year, and he is coming back again, as is another former player of ours, Phil Cullen, who's the assistant GM with the Spurs, is going to come back, and Coach Hopkins from the University of Washington. So we got a great lineup. But yeah, we might have to run the clinic without Joey and without Coach Harris running it. Well, I'm not going to be there if they're in the playoffs. But yeah, a couple years ago when Joe was playing for Cleveland, we ended up we had his youth camp scheduled for early in June, and with them going deep into the playoffs, we were worried about the fact that he wasn't going to be there for his first camp, because they ended up playing in the NBA finals, and just worked out. He got 2 days rest, and then we turned around and had 380 campers here in Lake Chelan. Yeah, so it's a chance we're taking.
It's a good problem to have, Joe.
Oh, definitely. It's a great problem to have.
What I was going to say was not the same thing Jason was going to say. So I read somewhere where that it would be very fitting if, with all the Boston getting all the Nets draft picks over the years, that if the Nets could match up with the Celtics and knock the Celtics out of the first round of the playoffs and send Kyrie packing somewhere else, that it would be a nice piece of revenge for the Brooklyn Nets to win that series if they were to somehow match up with the Celtics. I just thought that was kind of funny, a kind of a funny way to look at it.
Well, we would take that all the way out here in the Pacific Northwest. If they get Boston, we're, like I said, we didn't, you know, we were thinking we were flying to Charlotte to take second, so we wouldn't be flying to Boston to lose. How about
absolutely
that?
Absolutely. No question. No question about that.
Hey, the one other rumor, I don't know if you heard it or not, but there's a big rumor going around that Seattle's going to get an NBA team in the next 3 or 4 years. Did you hear this at all?
Well, there has been a huge push locally and across the Pacific Northwest, Oregon, Idaho, that to get the Sonics or get a club back. They've just recently added NHL hockey, and they're reworking the Seattle Coliseum so that that'll fit the hockey arena. So I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, that if something opens up. I'm not sure where the NBA as a league goes, but Seattle is a huge sports town, and their fans are rabid. The Seahawks, the Sounder fans are nuts. The Mariner fans are nuts, whether they're winning or losing. And I think that's just it's almost just a natural fit to bring some sort of organization back to Washington.
They haven't built a new arena there, have they?
No, there's been several different proposals for that. They're reworking the old arena, which is where the Sonics played.
Right.
Seattle Arena, and it's probably not big enough compared to where teams play now, but it would definitely be a great start.
Yeah, I think if you look at all the major cities around the country, it's hard to believe with, again, the history of the Sonics and just the basketball, sort of as a basketball hotbed, both from producing players and just, the fan base that's always been there. It's hard to believe that it's been without a team for as long as it has.
I mean, we have 3 professional sports teams in Cleveland, and we support those pretty strongly. So I have to think that Seattle can definitely support that.
Well, I'm pretty biased. I mean, I look at the players that have come out of the state of Washington that have played collegiately and then gone on and played professionally. And we've had a number of great players come from our area in the Pacific Northwest. And I just think that fans would flock to an NBA arena to fill that place up if the Sonics came back.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I think we experienced this to some smaller degree. I mean, we weren't without the Browns for as long, but for 3 years when the Browns went away, and then when they came back, people were excited. Unfortunately, it's been 25 years of awful football. So
we're back, baby.
We're not wishing 25 years of bad basketball on the city of Seattle, but, hopefully the organization in place would be better than the one that we've had in place for years here with the Browns.
Well, that's the beauty of sports, is that there's always another game and there's always another chance. So I'm hoping that, somebody from NBA is listening and says, let's give Seattle a chance. This would be a great venue. It'd promote us in this part of the world. And
I think what I'm hearing is Joe Harris wants to coach the Seattle Supersonics.
Are you throwing your hat in that ring?
I'm enjoying being a dad, I tell you right now. Sure. I still haven't quit grinning, and I'm just using using what I can to make a difference with my middle school PE kids, and I'm using Joey as an example. So, you know, I'm just going to ride that wave until it's done.
All right, so I want to wrap up with two things. One, give us, if there's anything from All-Star Weekend that we didn't talk about or we didn't touch on, share that. And then I want you to go ahead and talk a little bit about your coaching clinic and then also your camps that you run in the summertime. Give yourself a little plug for all the people that are hopefully going to tune in and listen from your area to see if we can't, you know, get some more people there and, you know, help you out in that way.
Oh, right on. Thank you. Well, you know, I think the All-Star Weekend, I don't know if I presented myself too well, but what a great experience. And like, you know, the people from the NBA or whether they were from the city of Charlotte, they were so giving to us and helpful to just, you know, whether you were looking for a place to go or if you needed some help with transportation or what have you. And I understand, keeping it in perspective, I understand that it was, you know, our sons playing in it and, you know, they catered to us a little bit, but you don't have to do that always. And you don't have to just make it that. So it was an All-Star Weekend for both parents, as well as it was for the players and that type of deal. And I think that's the thing that probably was driven home the most, other than the fact that, you know, it's just surreal thinking of your own child playing in that arena and doing what he did and realizing some goals that he had set and some from the time that he was little, he had talked about, you know, playing and doing this and little guys talk to themselves all the time when they're first, second grade and they, you know, last second shot and you always work yourself down. I mean, thousands of us have done that in the driveway.
I did it all the time. I mean,
and you know, here's a little guy that did that in the front of our driveway. Yeah. Whether there was snow on the ground or whether it was, you know, raining outside, he's talking his way through that stuff. And now hopefully he's that role model for guys that are doing that. And, you know, you think about where this game has really kind of driven me, you know, no longer coaching, but still involved in it. I'm headed tomorrow to Bellevue Christian High School. They're getting ready to go to their state tournament and coach wanted me to come over and work them over a little bit. So I said, sure. So I'm going to drive, 2.5 hours after school, run practice and then drive home. But, that's what you do when you love the game. And, you know, so I've been involved in our coaching clinic since, oh goodness, the mid 90s. And we've been fortunate enough to have some great coaches come and speak in our community. Coach Neighbors, when he was at the University of Washington women's team, Wayne Tinkle, Oregon State, Mike Burns, Boise State. We've had the Gonzaga staff, whether it was Leon Rice or Billy Greer or Mark Few in our, so that comes up. Our clinic is May 18th and we've tried to drive it for, you know, our local coaches. There's no cost, which is a, you know, obviously a great opportunity, but it's $75 for the full day. We've got six speakers. We've got Coach Hopkins from the University of Washington coming. Like I said, Joe, if he's not deep into the playoffs and he's talking about bringing somebody from the Nets with him, Phil Cullen, who played for us here in Chelan, works in the Spurs organization, will be talking about culture and leadership. We're hoping to have Richie McKay come from Liberty. He's we'll know here in a couple of days for that. Cody Butler, who's at Boise State University with the women. So we've got great people, and the best part about it is it's really intimate, that it gives people a chance or coaches a chance to just sit down with these guys that are speaking and get your napkin out and start, you know, let's really dive into what you were talking about. And I think that's the best thing about our clinic and, you know, our basketball background is that we're really about giving back to people and giving it out there, that we want you to have a great time, but we also want you to gain from this so that you can make the game better. Like I said, we've been doing that for going on, you know, 25, 30 years. Consistently every spring in Chelan. Following that up a couple weeks later, right after school gets out in our area, we've got a little youth camp for kindergarten through eighth graders, and it's filled, the camp filled up. So we've got a waiting list going on, but you can go to joeharrisbasketballcamp.com for the clinic or the camp and get on our newsletter. And the camp, we just don't have the facilities to be able to host more than 250, 60 young guys or gals, and we're already full. So it's just, again, it's taken off, and it's a, both of those fund a little scholarship program that we've got and helping out youth programs here in our Lake Chelan Valley. So what a great opportunity for any of those folks to donate or help out with that would be, gives right back to our community and the youth programs we've got. So we got some cool things going on. And again, basketball has been such a big part of our life. And, you know, like I said, I just have enjoyed last 10 days being a dad and sitting in the stands and just loving every minute of it.
Yeah, getting a chance to see the game from all these different perspectives, you know, at first as you're a player and then you're a coach and now you're a dad, and just being able to impact the game in so many ways. And then probably even more importantly, and I'm sure you'd vouch for this, to have the game impact you and your life. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, we're finding to be the most gratifying about what we're doing here with the podcast is the opportunity to talk to great people. And then hopefully the opportunity to have listeners out there being impacted by the conversations that we're getting to have with great people like yourself and the other coaches that we've had on. It's just, you know, it's just been a pleasure to be able to do that. And I think what, you know, what you're doing with the coaches clinic, and obviously you got to start expanding the Joe Harris basketball camps. You're going to have to start, you're going to have to start taking that on the road. You're going to have to make that a road show. You got to get one in Seattle and move, you know, you got to get all over the place with that.
Get back east for you guys. Yeah.
That's it. That's it. Well, in 2 years, the All-Star Game's coming here. So, you know, Joe will be a two-time defending champion in three-point contest by then. So,
and then you can stay at Mike's house.
Then you can stay. Then you can stay, okay. Then you can stay at my house. We'll
save you. You know, to that. We'll treat you better
than the NBA.
We're going to come in strong. We might have 8 or 10 of us falling.
That's right. We're ready, man. We'll get some air mattresses going. You'll be all set.
Oh, it'd be just like the clinic. There you go.
It'll be great. Well, hey, Joe, we want to thank you for your time tonight. Again, we wanted to have you on just to kind of get your perspective on All-Star Weekend and what it was like to watch your son win that three-point contest. And we can't thank you enough for all you've done to help us with the podcast. And we're excited to continue to see where this goes. And I'm sure we'll be back on to talk to you again, especially as the Nets make their playoff run when they knock off the Celtics. We'll jump back on and talk a little bit more about that. So, again, we thank you very much for coming on tonight, Joe.
You bet. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you just continuing to reach out and doing all you're doing for the game of hoop. It's been so great for me, and I know it's great for you guys. So kudos to you, the Hoopshead podcast, and running it through, man. This is awesome.
Thanks. We love it. And everyone out there, we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Head Start Basketball's Player Development Academy offers Cleveland area players a unique opportunity to improve their basketball skills. Regardless of a player's age, skill level, or position, training with Head Start Basketball will elevate your game to the next level. Do you want to improve your ball handling, become a better shooter, or develop into a more skilled, confident player? Our Academy classes offer training that's designed to do just that. Our training sessions are innovative and will have you learning skills that are transferable to actual games. We have 4 different class skill levels for boys and girls, ages 4 and up. All Player Development Academy classes will be held at the Strongsville Recreation Center. For more information or to get registered, please visit www.headstartbasketball.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.